So I hope you appreciated that Old Testament reading. There's a lot of feasts there. By the way, if this were a ship or boat, it would tip over. Like, you guys are all over there. Is that planned? This is kind of amazing. So this is kind of interesting, the way our Lord talks about and Moses transmitted to the people the festivities, the feast, the days of obligation. You had the commandment, the third commandment, right? Keep holy the Lord's day every week, the Sabbath day. And then he had these additional holy days of obligation for the Jewish people. And you notice it says, hold a sacred assembly. Hold a sacred assembly. That's English. What was the Greek? It was church. Come be church. Assemble together. A sacred, holy church. Did you count how many times you're supposed to come to church? It was a lot. And that's what they would do. You didn't just have a private holy day of obligation in your backyard by yourself. You came together as church, as God's gathering, God's holy assembly. So we do that. That's exactly why we do that today. Our roots of the tree are in the Jewish faith. And then the New Testament, the New Covenant, the Kingdom of Heaven, the Catholic Church is the visible tree growing from those roots. But it's the same thing. Our religion is not 2,000 years old, it's 4,000 years old. Our Lord's been preparing the way for a long time. It's the feast of St. Jean Marie Vianney, so I'll let him share some insights of his own for his day. It's on prayer, because we struggle to pray, we can get discouraged in prayer, and we don't always feel like, you know, we're getting much out of prayer. I'll just share what he talks about prayer as reminder. It's not just saying words. It's union with God. It's not just feelings. It's union with God. Prayer is, let's see, man has a noble task, that of prayer and love, to pray and to love. That is the purpose and the happiness of man on earth. What's your purpose? To get the A on the test, now that you're back in school almost, to get the certain salary? No, it's to pray and to love. That's your purpose. Prayer is nothing else than union with God. When the heart is pure and united with God, it is consoled and filled with sweetness. It is dazzled by a marvelous light. In this intimate union with God, which is prayer, intimate union with God. God and the soul are like two pieces of wax molded into one. Here's my piece of wax, God's piece of wax. He says, put them together in the heat of prayer. And they don't separate so easily. You notice when you're having a hard time, you're going through dryness, what's the first thing that the devil tries to tempt you not to do is to pray. I'm too busy, I'm too mad at God, so I won't pray, which is the first thing you need to do. If the wax hardens, breaks apart and hardens, you got to bring it back to prayer for the heat to melt it again, to put it back together. Two pieces of wax molded into one, they cannot anymore be separated. It is a very wonderful thing, this union with God, with this insignificant creature. God in his greatness, doing just fine by himself, having all the money, wealth, power in the world, wants to come to my insignificant life. This union of God with this insignificant creature, a happiness passing all understanding, a peace deeper than all human peace. We had deserved to be left incapable of praying. Why would God allow me to speak to him? All I do is offend him half the time. Yet God in his goodness has enabled and permitted us to speak to him. By the way, that's your baptism. When the life of God is imbued in your life, now you're on par with God. You're not underneath him. You're a brother to Jesus Christ through your baptism. You're a sister to Jesus Christ through your baptism. You're enabled to pray. Our prayer is an incense that is delightful to God. God likes it when you pray. I don't get anything out of prayer. Well, maybe he's getting something out of your prayer. It's delightful to God that you take time for him. My children, your hearts are small. Raise your hand if your heart tends to be selfish. Anybody? Maybe a little bit? Our hearts are small and petty and self-centered, closed in themselves. That's their default broken tendency. But prayer enlarges them. I think even St. Augustine referred to prayer as this stretching of the heart. When God doesn't answer your prayer right away, which often he doesn't, he's stretching your desire. Renders them capable of loving God. It's a lot to love. It takes time. Prayer is a foretaste of heaven, an overflowing of heaven. We talk about the Mass as an overlap between heaven and earth. But if you understand, prayer is my effort to strive with His grace to be in union with Him more and more throughout my day. It's an overflow of heaven into my life. It never leaves us without some sweetness. It is like honey. It descends into the soul and sweetens everything. In prayer, well made, emphasis well made, so we got to keep working on our prayer. In prayer, well made, troubles vanish like snow under the rays of the sun. And if you're like me and you're sitting there saying, this doesn't apply to me because I don't know, it just doesn't work sometimes. No, but like picture Jesus in His prayer in Gethsemane. Was He free of troubles? No. But when He finished that prayer, He was resolved, I'm going forward. I loved how the Passion movie described Him standing from His prayer and crushing the serpent because prayer had transformed Him. Troubles vanished like snow under the rays of the sun. Prayer makes time seem to pass quickly and so pleasantly that one fails to notice how long it is. Now, this is a query of ours after years of prayer. Father Mike Schmitz recently talked about prayer and he said, this doesn't apply to me because sometimes you're just counting the seconds as you try to sit there for another minute in prayer. But sometimes, especially after years, it is that experience of time passing so quickly. When I was a parish priest, once almost all my colleagues were ill and I made long journeys. I used to pray to God on those journeys, and I assure you the time did not seem long to me. I do encourage us, when commuting back and forth, turn the radio off. Let our Lord have that intimate time with you. Let Him have some space. I assure you, there are those who lose themselves in prayer, like fish in water. Sometimes when you're journaling in prayer, yes, you get one sentence in, Jesus, I don't know what to pray, period. That's all you can do. Other times, you'll write pages. They lose themselves in prayer, like a fish in water, because they are absorbed in God. There is no division in their hearts. Raise your hands if your heart is sometimes divided between God's will and my will, right? What do you need to do? Pray. Pray. More prayer, not less prayer. There's no division in their hearts. We just ask St. John Vianney to pray for us. Because he finishes, as for ourselves, pitiful fools, as for ourselves, how often do we come to church without even thinking of what we're going to do or what we're going to ask? When you're going to talk with your employer, do you ever go in there nonchalant, not a clue about what you're going to say? Or the girl you're going to ask to marry you? Do you ever go there like clueless about what you're going to say? Or have you spent a lot of time preparing for that encounter? All the more when we come to the dwelling place of God for an encounter with God. Work at it. When I was in seminary, and even today, it's been a while, bad habits form easily, but when you had night prayers before you went to bed, you took time to write down. You'd read the scripture that you were going to pray with the next day, and you would write down some of the first points you need to talk to God about from that scripture. You would prepare your meditation 12 hours, no, not 12, sorry, as if 6 hours, maybe for me sometimes it was 12, but 6 hours before your morning meditation the next morning. You would prepare it. You would take it that seriously. So I do encourage us to realize what prayer is, spoken from an expert like St. John Vianney. Maybe grow in that experience of the intimacy that God wants to have with us. And may we never discourage. The best virtue in the Christian life, besides love, we always say it's always love, it's love. It is love, but it's also perseverance. Just don't give up. At some point you realize He was actually doing more work than you were, and He finds a way to make it happen. Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.